listening to the U-Urban Bible Study Weekly Leaders Training Podcast. The U curriculum is especially created by and for urban and multi-ethnic churches. This podcast is designed to help leaders lead a Bible study using Lifeway's U-Urban Bible Study resources. Each week, we examine the biblical passage, review some questions teachers may face, and give a practical teaching tip. I'm Dr. Mark Crosston, General Editor of the U Bible Study, and today I'm joined by my wife, Brenda Crosston. She is the Women's Ministry Leader at the Mount Gilead Church, and she actually wrote this particular series of Bible studies. Hello, Brenda.
Hello, Mark. Glad to be back with you for lesson six. Faithful in all things. We find that in Revelation 3, verses 7 through 13. You know, Glenn Burley has this song, Faithful Over a Few Things. And it talks about the receipt of a crown of life after being faithful over a few things. And that's the song that's playing in my head as I'm thinking about what Revelation 3, 7 through 13 is inviting us to do, to be faithful in whatever comes, because there is a reward at the end.
All right. So the point of our lesson today is faithfully trust God as you minister to others. Faithfully trust God as you minister to others. And the first section, secure your entrance to the kingdom. And so let me read these first verses, 7 and 8. Write to the angel of the Church of Philadelphia. Thus says the one, the true one, the one who has the key of David, who opens and no one will close, and who closes and no one opens. I know your works. Look, I have placed before you an open door that no one can close, because you have little power. Yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. So here we are. Secure your entrance to the kingdom. And so again, you know, I just always like how Jesus describes himself in the text, because that kind of opens up some ideas on what's going to happen in the rest of the narrative. And he says, the Holy One, the True One, and the one who has the key of David, who opens and no one closes, and closes and no one opens. So that's a great introduction that he gives us, because in essence, when we think about this topic, secure your entrance. Well, when we think about doors and opening and closing, locks and all of those things are a part of securing the entrance. What are you thinking, Brenda?
So there's a key phrase here, the key of David. It is a reference to Christ's authority in the church. You know, we think about the people who have power in organizations, the person who has the key to all the doors has the power, right? I'm also thinking that the title says secure your entrance to the kingdom, but I want to make sure that we remind the listeners that the only way to secure your entrance to the kingdom is through acceptance of Jesus Christ, believing that he died on the cross, confessing that with your heart and then your mouth. I think a lot of times we take for granted that those folks who are in Sunday school, that they are saved, or that they're even sure of their salvation. And so that's the way. So in our church, in our context, for the most part, we are very charismatic in our worship, our singing and all of that. Those things are wonderful, but those aren't the things that will secure our entrance into the kingdom of God. Also, really quickly, the fact that he says, I have placed an open door before you that no one can close, because you have little power. Two things. I'm reminded that the weight of whatever is happening in my ministry and life is not on me. because I have little power. And that's an assurance because it's on him. And all I have to do is what that second portion says. It says, you have kept my word and have not denied my name. My responsibility in ministering to others, even in tough times, like the church at Philadelphia, is to not deny his name and to keep his word regardless.
Right. There you go. Secure your entrance. And so that's important. And it's important to remember that we are totally trusting and dependent on God, who holds the keys. So the second thing is trust God's protection. Trust God's protection. Let me read verses 9 and 10. Note this. I will make those from the synagogue of Satan who claim to be Jews and are not, but are lying, I will make them come and bow down at your feet, and they will know that I have loved you, because you have kept my command to endure. I will also keep you from the hour of testing that is going to come on the whole world to test those who live on the earth. And so trust God's protection. So again, you know, it brings up this thought. We've seen this in one of the earlier churches, the synagogue of Satan. And so he's just reminding us that everybody who is in the church is not a part of the family of God. The Bible says the wheat and the tare will grow together, the sheep and the goats will grow together. And so it's important for us to remember that, to remember this, because we need to measure people by the word and not just by our friendships and our relationships, but measure them by what does the word of God say. And so here he says, they claim to be Jews, but are not, they're lying. He says, but I will ultimately make them come and bow before your feet, and they will know that you love me. So, and, you know, we have all had some times of contention and disagreement and those kind of things in the life of the church. Not everybody is always on board with everything that's going on in the life of the church, nor your life as you are a part of the church. And so he says, ultimately, I'm going to let them see that this is the person who loved me.
There's a lot of rejoicing to happen at the reading of this verse. Number one, the fact that we don't have to strive to make our reputation good. So you talked about the contentions that happen within the body of Christ. So there is the reminder, like you said, that there are people within the community of the church that are in the community, but are not really of the church. And so just like the synagogue of Satan mentioned here, they persecute. They really don't believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that their main jobs are to persecute. And sometimes we have the desire to defend and fight. And this scripture makes me rejoice because it relieves us of all of that. I don't have to do that. The one who holds the key of David says, I will make them lie down. I will make them come and bow down at your feet. I'm studying the last part of Genesis now, thinking about Joseph and his brothers. This reminds me of that. And this is not a point for us to brag over, right? Because again, we don't have any power. Really, when they come to bow down at our feet, this is the implication that they have surrendered to the idea that Jesus is Lord, right? They surrendered to this idea that, and they see him in our lives. Let me say that they see him in our lives. And secondly, is the memory verse, which is worth repeating, because you have kept my command to endure. I will also keep you from the hour of testing that's going to come on the whole world to test those who live on the earth. Listen, I don't know what that is. I mean, we could have a whole conversation about pre-millennial, post. We could have a whole debate about that. I don't know if this is a time of rapture. I don't know what it is, but I want my name in this number. I want it to be kept from this testing by Jesus Christ.
Well, look, so this could speak to the end time, but it doesn't necessarily have to. We have just come through a time of testing that was on the whole world in the pandemic. And then there are other things that come on the whole world. And so the great thing I see here is a reminder that if you keep my commands, I will keep you. That's what he says. If you kept my commands, and so when the trouble time comes, you will be kept by Almighty God. So what do we do ultimately? Hold on to the truth. Hold on to the truth, right? The truth will set you free. So let's read verse 11 through 13. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one takes your crown. The one who conquers, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will never go out again. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. Let anyone who has ears to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. All right, so one of our key phrases is the new Jerusalem. So where are we with that, Brenda?
This is in reference to the temple in God's eternal city, but it's actually the Lord himself in the new Jerusalem. It's the Lord himself and the Lamb. So that's another celebration point.
All right. So this section says, hold on to the truth. Hold on. He says first, I am coming soon. And so, we think about the fact that it's been 2000 years, since Jesus was on the earth. And now we're reading this text as I'm coming soon. And so remember that soon in God's mind and soon in ours are two different things, right? 1,000 years is like a day with the Lord. He lives in eternity, not in time. And so time doesn't mean the same thing for him as it does for us. And so just is a reminder to us to be ready, or like we saw in the last lesson, be vigilant, because he is coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one takes your crown. And it ultimately, to the one who conquers, and talks about this blessing that's going to come to the one who overcomes, the one who conquers. Do you see that there, Brenda?
I do. And we kind of highlighted the same thing. I wrote in my notes, I actually circle, I am coming soon, to bring up the fact that every generation has been like, anytime something goes awry, right? Some really hard times, like, oh, Jesus Christ is coming soon. Well, yes. But when we think about Genesis 2:2 and the finished work of Jesus Christ, once he finished the creation, the finished work of God, once he finished the creation, there was the idea there that there were certain things that had to happen at appointed times. And until all of those things happen at the appointed time, then Jesus is not set to come back. And just like you said, that time is short for the Trinity, the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But for us is the implication of a generational responsibility. So we are here on the earth now, and Jesus is coming for us personally soon, right? What does the scripture say? Life is like a vapor. Almost five decades have passed for me. And I'm like, wait a minute, where's this time gone? Jesus is coming for me personally soon. And so there is the generational responsibility to keep the faith and to pass it on to those who are assigned to my personal life and ministry.
So ultimately, he says to the one who overcomes, he says, I'm going to make you like a pillar. And so there's a reminder in the narrative that in 17 AD, there were big earthquakes in the city of Philadelphia. And so these were, in people's minds. He said, but I'm going to make you like a pillar that stands strong even when earthquakes and trouble come. And then he just talks about the fact that not only going to make you a pillar, but I'm going to write the name of God on you, and I'm going to write the name of the city of God on you, and I'm going to write a new name on you. Why is that? God is going to fully identify us and identify with us so that we are never lost nor shaken, no matter how terrible the times may be. So this is great, a great idea of holding on to him. So this is great, faithful in all things. And so I would just say that just like those earthquakes shook the Philadelphia and the people needed to remember to be strong, we have to remember to be strong too. So it's easy to be faithful in the good times and in the easy times. Yeah. It's something else to remain faithful when your world is shaken like an earthquake. So this will be a great encouraging lesson, particularly for those who might be going through some things in their own personal lives right now, and to hold on and to hold out, and God will write his name on you and establish you and make you strong. So we're thankful for you all who have joined us today. I want you to hold on. If you're a Bible teacher, hold on just for a minute, because Brenda's going to give us a powerful teaching tip in just a minute. But I want to just say to each of you, you can get your copy of the You Bible Study Curriculum at lifeway.com/ You. It is our for us and by us study, urban and multi-ethnic. It has digital availability, has a great leaders pack to help your teaching lessons come to life. And it aligns with our Bible Studies for Life student and kids curriculum. So there's something for everybody. All right, Brenda, give us our teaching tip for today.
I opened my end of the conversation today mentioning Glenn Burley's Faithful Over a Few Things. And so today's teaching tip is simple yet effective. Set the atmosphere for this lesson. As the learners come in and get seated, whatever your normal routine is, play Glenn Burley's Faithful Over a Few Things softly in the background. Ask them to just close their eyes and set in that moment for just a few minutes and listen to those words, and then launch into this lesson and just sit back and see what the Lord does, because you set the atmosphere for this lesson to be taken to heart and mind.
Right. So a lot of people may not have that particular song, but you can do a search on online and find a video on YouTube where you can hear that song, Faithful Over a Few Things, Glenn Burley, one of the great gospel writers of this age. And so we're grateful for that. All right. So thank you also very much for joining us for this time that we have gathered here today. And you're going to really be blessed as you go through this study in your classes. And join us again for another You podcast, because you never know where God will take you.